And how many love Jack? We love you, Jack. We love Morgan. And they are in transition. And this is it's a new season for them as well. And they've been here. Jack has been here for 7 years. And the Lord is moving them. And so do you want to come up here? We were having dinner with Pastor Tim last night, and I think we all just agreed. I think the hardest part of being a pastor is seeing people leave, is like seeing good people leave. And it's just, it's hard, but it's also just part of the process, and it's part of God's plan. And but I honestly, I just want to honor you both. Jack, you have been such a brother to me, and you fought for me when nobody else would fight for me. This guy has taken daggers in the back for me, and I just honor you, and I honor the grace and the gift on your life, and just who you are, and who you've been in this land, who you've been in our church, who you've been to my family. You are an amazing support. You're a Barnabas. But we just want to pray for you. I could say a lot, but actually I'm just still kind of processing them leaving. It hasn't quite sunk in. But if Pastor Tim, could you come up here? And if there's others, just a few other people that are, if you want to just gather around them, we just want to bless them. And we believe in sending people. We believe in releasing them into the next season. And thank you, Jesus. So everybody just extend your hands.
Father, we just thank you for the anointing upon this couple's life to break chains and yokes everywhere they go, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Father, for your divine leadership and guidance that is taking them by the hand and guiding them in the way that you would have them go. I thank you, Father God, that every call and destiny and purpose be fulfilled in their life. I thank you that we will see the kingdom come and your will be done. As they move forward, Father God, you are just preparing the way, removing every roadblock, every stone, making every crooked path straight in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that there is nothing that is formed against them that will prosper, Lord God. They will prosper in everything that they put their hand to do, for their eyes and their hearts are set upon your purpose, Father God. Accomplish it in the perfect timing of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for a grace for patience. A grace. Thank you for increasing their faith, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. Thank you for this couple. Thank you for how you've brought life to the community through them. Thank you for the heart that you put in them to serve. All the times of the grass being mowed and the weeds being trimmed and the lodge being cleaned and the asphalt being slurried and the walls being painted and the carpets being cleaned. Oh, how much they've poured out, Lord. Your word says those who water will themselves be watered. And so we bless you to be watered and refreshed in the Lord as you go off in this new season. We send you out in the wind of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you.
Yes.
He will. He's so good. And he loves the heck out of you. So may he give you grace with your kids as you travel across America in your car. And give you rest when you need it. Oh, and bless you and encourage you when you need it. Oh, we love you guys.
Yeah. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the people that you send to us, God, as gifts. even just for a season. And we thank you that this has been a long season with Jack and Morgan. And God, it's just such a delight to stand with them, Father, as they're commissioned. It is something new, Father, and beautiful. God, I thank you that this has not been it's not been an easy decision, but God, you've been with them every incremental step of the way. And God, while there's still so much unknown in this decision, Lord, we thank you that you have more incremental steps of the way, Father, for them to take one step at a time, God. I thank you that their confidence isn't in man, it's in you. And you said, blessed are those who makes the Lord their confidence. And so, God, we thank you that you delight in them. And when you delight in a man's ways, you make their steps, their path straight, Lord. And we thank you that their path is straight and upward. In Jesus' name.
I feel like you guys are coming into a season of multiplication. And I mean, Morgan, even talking to you this morning, where you're like, you know, it's been good. It's been pretty easy and pretty peaceful. And I remember a year ago, you guys brought Sage birthday things. And he was undone because it was the middle of COVID and he didn't have a party and all these things and that love. And it's like he sees you guys, oh, those are my friends. Those are my friends. That God is bringing you guys into a place where everywhere you go, that will be multiplied. Yeah. That community and peace and that love that you guys have poured out, like tangibly, like making a batch of cookies with Grace. You know, like, hey, happy birthday. We love you, buddy. We see you. That you guys will be seen in a magnified way. That your needs and your hearts and what you need will be seen.
Yeah, when we were praying, I just saw a whirlwind spinning clockwise. And Michael Doughton, he says, when the whirlwind spins clockwise, that's the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you that you're with these guys. Then I saw a clock. So I think the clock is just means you're going to be, this is going to be a period of time that you're going to be doing this, a season. And I do believe it's not forever. But a time just to get some money together and get your feet on the ground. And the whirlwind is with you, Jack and Morgan.
Jack, when I pray for you, I see a bulldozer. Or maybe it's a monster truck. But I see a bulldozer going and clearing the way. And I see it just mowing down and clearing away anything that stands in its way. And I just see you are like, God is calling you to be a forerunner. And you're to go, but you also do. But God is calling you to go and clear the way for the kingdom to come. But I see you also, you're not only strong and powerful, but you're a doer. And you're not afraid to do what needs to be done. And you're not afraid to work hard. And I just see God's anointing on that as you work, that God's going to use you to build and build his kingdom and build it strong and powerful. And Morgan, I just see you're like a mermaid. You're so beautiful and elegant. And your fins turn to legs. And I just see you running together. And you make up the finesse that Jack lacks. But you, God has gifted you and grafted you together. And I see that on your children, but I believe we're going to see it on the fruit in the future. And as you go, you go in power and strength together. bless you.
That's what I saw in the spirit. Our sister said the unknown, but the Lord said, you are on a journey of the unknown, but it's known to Him. So the press that you're about to enter will press you in a place to find the known that He knows. And I saw you in a narrow place. You're actually coming out of one place and moving into a narrow place. And this narrow place is a press. And there will be many things pressed out of you in this season. There will be many things that are shown to you that you cannot see in a broad place, because there's so much to do and see. But now the narrowing will actually give you focus and vision. And in that place, the Lord's going to root out anything that needs to be rooted out, and He's going to magnify that what He has already put in you. And the day is coming, the Lord said, I'll bring you to a broad place, but this is your press. This is their narrow place. Don't despise the unknown. Rejoice in that He knows. And in that knowing that He is in fully in charge, you're going to begin to understand the path that He has you on. You're going to come into a season of discovery like you never have, both of you. You're going to understand things, that hidden things that you couldn't see here, that you will see there. And it'll make the vision very clear for the days ahead. And it'll actually begin to order your steps and begin to see where you are called to be in your life. The Lord said, keep the slate blank. Do not write what you would like to write on it. For the Lord said, the Psalm 139:16 word, the days about your life are written before there was ever one of them, is what you will read in this season. And it will take you places that you did not see. You'll go places and do things that, look, that wasn't on my map. I didn't plan that. And the Lord said, that's right, you didn't, I did. And so this will be a journey. And for Morgan, I think I saw this for you in the spirit clearly, that you're just walking by faith on this one. I mean, you're just like, okay, God, you said this is it. This is what we'll do. And you would like some answers, but they're not there. And it's okay. I want to say this to you. It's okay. You're actually in a good place when you're like that. Because in that place, the Lord will fill in the blanks and will give the answers. And if you write your own script, then what will happen is you'll be off script. And God wants you to be on His script in this season. So trust the Lord. You're about to go places and come back to places, and you're going to go all different directions. And you're going to wonder which way is up. But don't worry about it. It's a season of the press. And you will come out as pure gold. I'm prophesying to you. You will come out as pure gold. And that is the process that you're in right now, to press out what needs to be removed so that what is right will be manifested to you and to all those around you. And you will walk in the gold standard of the kingdom. I declare that over both of you. We commission you in the sense of the Spirit that you will come and become kings and priests like you never have been before. You will go into that secret place as priest, and you will come out as kings. And you will declare as a king does to his land. And you will declare across this land things that the Spirit is calling you to do, but also calling the earth to do. And you will be one who hears the groans of the earth and will become part of that sons of God that will begin to see the presence of God manifested everywhere you go. You're going to become what I call God's arsonist, starting fires everywhere you go and just beginning to release the fire of the Lord in those places that you're going. Lord, we declare that over this team, Father. We thank you for their labor here. We honor, Lord, the seeds that are in this land, and we call harvest to them even today in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. So just extend your hands. Father, thank you. We just bless this amazing couple. God, we thank you, God. We thank you for who they are in the Spirit. We thank you for their friendship, for their service, for their life. And we just pray for, as Pastor Tim said, multiplication, increase, anointing, grace. And I just pray, God, let them be led by your peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Let peace be their portion. Yeah, and I just thank you. I just thank you so much for their life, God. Bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Come on, just give them a hug afterwards. So good. We love you guys, Jack and Morgan. They are truly amazing. And I love what you said, Richard. That kind of sums it up, because you guys have a servant heart. And there's so much that they've done in this place that nobody would ever know. And it's the cleaning, it's the slurry, it's the weeding, it's the stuff that, you know, that nobody wants to talk about. But they just do it, and they do it with a smile. And it's like, I think I can learn from that. We could all learn from that. That's a servant's heart. And we just love you, Jack. Love you, Morgan. And we're gonna miss you. And amen. Well, I'm excited for today. And I love having Pastor Tim and Susan in the house. Pastor Tim has such an amazing anointing, apostolic, prophetic grace upon his life and pastoral. And every time he comes, he just brings this chiropractic word and a shift to our atmosphere and to our hearts. And so I'm excited. And so I just encourage you, open up your spirit, open up your heart. I believe you're here for a purpose. You didn't come here by accident today. The Lord has something for you. He has something for our land, for the region. And so I just pray you just open up your hearts, open up your spirits to what the Lord wants to say to you today. Can you give a big warm welcome to Pastor Tim as he comes up?
Bless you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome from Louisiana. And we bring spice to you. Louisiana is known for a lot of things. It's food and corruption and things like that. And so God always sends me to places that have corruption. I'm not joking. And God uses us to uproot corruption and to bring truth and bring purpose into everything that we're called to do. I started getting called to Europe and that was my worship team. But we go to nations where corruption rules, because God helped us overcome corruption in Louisiana in many different ways and used us in special ways. And so God started sending me places that where especially governmental corruption is really strong. And because we overcame it in many ways, we have an authority to begin to go places. And I'll never forget, I was called to Ukraine one time. And Ukraine is probably one of the most corrupt countries in the world by far. Systematic corruption all the way through the entire system. And I didn't want to go because Ukraine, and especially in the winter, it's extremely cold, 25 below or so. And I remember it was like November, and the Lord said, get to Ukraine. The church needs help. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I don't go. I don't go to you. I'm from the south for a reason. I love sunshine in the summer. And anyway, and the Lord said, no, get there. And so it was like January. And I looked and said, well, let's see if they can get a ticket. And I found out airline flights to Ukraine in January are very inexpensive because nobody goes. And me and my brother, my prophet, and my house, we went, and only two people in Ukraine without a fur hat, you know, because we didn't want our hair messed up. We wanted to look good, and it's 25 below. But we were there, and God just began to use us. And such as this is prior to the war that happened a few years ago. And we were there, and as I'm on the platform, getting ready to speak, it's a true story. I may have shared this here before, but we just got there, and I was going to meet with a little messianic group there, about 15 people. The pastor told me, the rabbi told me we're going to be there. And so I said, okay. So I thought, I don't need to really prepare much, 15 people. Just have an encouraging word, and I'll prophesy over 15 people, and we'll go home. And all of a sudden, it's a building a little bit bigger than this, and it starts filling up. And I mean, just like hundreds of people start coming, and I'm thinking, what? And I looked at the rabbi. I said, look, you said 15. And he goes, well, I don't know who these people are. And he said, I don't know how they found out about it, you know. And I said, well, let's find out why they're here, you know. Maybe they've mixed up and they've come to the wrong meeting, you know, because I didn't have anything prepared. And so we started walking around the room, started interviewing the people. And many of them, not most of them, said Lord, they had dreams. And they said the Lord told them to come to this place today. that there'd be a prophet that would have a word for the nation. And they would tell us, and I'm looking, where's that prophet? You know, it's like, maybe he's coming later. Because I did not have anything. I'm not making it up. I had nothing. I just, and I want to say that to you. When I say that to you, Jack, and you and Morgan, it's a good place to be that you don't have anything. Because then there's a total reliance on the Lord for what you're going to say and what you're going to do. I'm not saying don't be prepared and have your heart right, which I did. I was prepared in that sense. I came. I did. I obeyed the Lord. I came at the right time. So we get there, and so we went around the room, and I thought, oh, Lord. So I text my intercessors back home, and a big hour difference, but I said, look, I need help. These people are expecting a word from the Lord, and I don't have anything. I said, please pray, you know, and about 10 minutes later, they text me back, and they said, we feel the Lord will show you something. So I planned on firing them as soon as I got home, you know. I was like, you know, come on, you're supposed to help me here. The Lord was making me totally reliant on Him. He was not going to give me any help from anybody else. It was going to be Him on Him alone. And so they started worshiping. Fortunately, they worship in Russian. And so I could pray because I love to worship. So if you're singing in English, I'm going to worship. So they went in Russian. And so I was just walking up, and I was settling like in the front row where Susan is and my wife. And I was just walking back and forth. And I said, oh, Jesus, please show up. I said, these people have come. You've given them dreams. You told them this stuff's going to happen. And so all of a sudden I feel this tap on my shoulder. And I turn around. There's an angel there. He's probably as tall as this ceiling in here. He's regal, white, just brilliant in light. And I'm terrified. You know, people who say, oh, they talk to angels and they go sit in the lap of Jesus. And I'm like, mm-mm. I wished I would have had a pair of Depends on. I was terrified. I was like, my first thought was, he's here to punish me for not having a word. That's my first thought. And he's here to discipline me for being not prepared. I'm not making that up. I was terrified. And he whispered, he put in my ear, and he says, don't worry, I've come to help. I said, thank you, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord. And he put his hand on me. I went into full-blown vision like watching a movie theater, just like watching a movie. He showed me everything that was about to happen to Ukraine. They were in total corruption, absolute corruption. He showed me the president be removed from office. He put a righteous man in his place. I saw Russia come and take part of the country. I saw Jews having to flee to go to Israel. I just saw this whole vision while I'm standing there. And I come out of it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And the angel says to me, he goes, now just tell him everything I just showed you and don't say anything more. And I thought, okay, gotcha. You know, I'm terrified. I don't know how to explain the terror I was in. Terrified I wasn't ready, but two, I didn't think I was ready, but two, that I didn't want to miss the Lord. And I wanted to help this nation. Now, you understand Ukrainians are very stoic. They came out of communism. It's a very dark country. They're not emotional at all, zero. They don't smile. Like if I preach a sermon, no amens, no movement, no shouting. You don't know whether you hit a home run or laid an egg. You have no clue. You preach by faith and not by sight. You just do it that way. There's nothing, you know, afterwards sometimes they'll come up to you and they'll go, that was the most amazing meeting I've ever been in my life. And that's how they say it. And you're like, really, dude? I have no clue that you thought it was anything going on. Anyway, so... I said, Lord, these are stoic people. How am I going to tell them this? And I remember that angel said, just say what I said, what I showed you. So I did. And I just shared the whole vision. They recorded it. It was videoed, everything there. Anyway, so we did that. And then all of a sudden, these Ukrainians broke out in travail. I mean, they just started crying. They loved their nation. They were crying out and they were praying, and I literally just had to stand back and for 45 minutes to an hour watch these people hit the floor and begin to cry out for their nation. And I thought, this is why I came in January, 25 below degrees weather, to be there to help them. And that was my push. That was my push. Then that night we go to our hotel, machine gun fire outside the window. And I thought, that didn't sound good because we live in Louisiana. We know that sound. And you think I'm making that up. We do. We know that sound. Our neighborhoods around our church, I have a guy live on campus. He tells me all the time the sounds that happened that night. And so I thought, this is not good. So we turn on the news. Well, the war started that night. And I'm like, Lord, you know, you could have like got me out of here before, you know. And Chuck Pierce is a real good friend. Chuck Pierce is a real good friend of mine. He's our apostolic alignment. So he texts me. He's watching the news. He says, I got a word for you. Get out of there. That's like... I was like, well, thanks, Chuck. It's a little bit late here now. Airport's closed, you know, everything's shut down. I was like, yeah, man of God. Anyway, long story short, God used us there to encourage the church. Because why would God tell us war's coming and that God's going to remove their president and Russia's coming? It's to prepare them. Because they needed to have a heart ready for what was going on there. And it all happened just like we said. They won the war in that area. They removed the president from office. This guy was a murderer. And he had been in prison in Ukraine. After 10 years, if you're a felon, it doesn't matter. You can run for office. It doesn't matter. You know, it may not be coming to a city near you soon here. But anyway, that was like the law there. So he was a known mafia guy, murderer, everything. And so he got removed, and temporarily they put a Baptist pastor as the new president of Ukraine. The Lord told me they remove him and put a righteous man in his place. It happened, and of course Russia came and took Crimea. They took part of the country. Everything happened. Jews now, number one country, Jewish people going to Israel is from Ukraine. Everything happened just like the angel showed me. And now they started turning their nation around, corruption starting to be dissipated in the nation even now. Now, I feel like God's called me to California for a moment such as this, all right? I want to say this, and I didn't do any introductions. I'm Tim. All right, that's good, all right? That's all you need to know. Trust Michael that you brought the right person here. Most of you I know, but my wife Susan and Isaac, we do this. I've pulled these people, my family. I've dragged them all around the world to do things like this. And so we are usually out of the nation 6 months a year, out of the year. So this COVID has been a whole different world for me. I've had to actually stay here. And God has given me a heart for my own nation like never before. And we believe God is doing some great things. The Lord spoke to us. We prophesied it that when one of these corrupt leaders would fall, there'd be a domino effect that would begin to fall across the nation. And we saw Como fall. We prophesied that. And we felt like that was the first domino of many others to fall. And so I'm here for this time. So you can imagine what I feel is going to happen here. The Lord told me in September last year, God gives me a word every year at Yom Kippur. I have a whole word for the year. And the Lord said, watch the number 14 all year long. It'll be a sign to you that my hand's moving. And so when I came here, I looked at your recall election. It's on September 14th. So I really felt like it's a moment in time, a history, where God wants to do something in your state. And this isn't about finding a new governor. This is about uprooting corruption. You understand? And I'm not here. I think the GOP was brilliant in not endorsing. I think it was brilliant because then it would be somebody against him. And this has to be about uprooting injustice. And that's what we're talking about is injustice. Now, in this crisis, now I got so much to say. I want to make sure I cover it. Y'all are a weird group today because I feel like I'm a mosquito in a nudist colony. It's like, where do you start? You know, it's like, makes some sense. Susan doesn't like when I say that. But it's like there's so much to feast on. You don't know where to start. But I feel like the moment that you're in is critical. But as a nation, let's go there first. As a nation, we are all in a grieving process. When something unjust, like if somebody loses a family member to injustice, in other words, they'd be murdered or something, malpractice or something like that, you go through an emotional process of dealing with that crisis. And you go through anger, you go through bitterness, grieving, you go through frustration, you go through the what ifs. If that person hadn't done this, and so you go through this whole process, and that's what's happened to America, and we're in a grieving process, and God is allowing what is happening here so that you'll find out what's inside of you. Now, you know, we've thought about, you know, loading up with ammunition and, you know, snipers, things like that. You know, we've had thoughts like that. Like we can, I had one guy in my church. He's a redneck. I mean, he really is a redneck, and he's proud of it. And he came to me, he goes, Pastor, 3 bullets will take care of most of these problems. That's what he said. You know what I'm saying? And I go, well, I don't think Jesus would say that, but I understand why what you're saying. And but see, these are man's solutions. It's like if that person's not there, then you know. I want you to understand this. When like Pelosi, your wonderful congresswoman from California, a lot of people, she's got to go. And the Lord, for us, I lobby Congress. I actually work in D.C. a lot, and we lobby senators and congressmen. I do a lot of that. And Pelosi, I can say this about her. We know her. We know her traits. We know how she functions. I can work with that. You bring in somebody else, I'm going to have to start all over again. You know, I want to know who my devil is. You understand what I'm saying? I want to know what I have. I'm not calling her a devil. She just works for him. And but I know how she functions, and I can work in that. Please understand my humor, okay? I'm being facetious on purpose. But I want you to understand that we can work with that. And it's the grace of God for us to have favor in those places. And we do. We have favor. I walk into senators' offices and congressmen's offices, and we have favor in there. I've turned liberals. Supernaturally, God used me to turn a liberal and make them do the right thing and vote properly. And to a place where I had liberals in there with me when we're lobbying, and we walk out in the hall, and they go, what just happened in that room? Because they couldn't understand how God could show up and shift a wicked heart and turn them for right. And that's what God can do. And I want to say this for you guys. God can do this here. Now, I brought a demo. I don't ever do this, but I felt it to give Michael some gifts. But I felt it was a demonstration of what God is saying right now. If you have a Bible, do y'all have Bibles up here?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. If you'll turn to Revelation 6. And I know most of you have on your phone. I encourage you to get paper Bibles. They're encouraging, and you can write in them and things like that. But in this is this. I'm going to teach you on the seven seals in 3 minutes. No, I'm not. But if you understand the seven seals, this is what I was down in San Diego, where, by the way, the temperature is about 30 degrees better than it is here. But I was down in San Diego. We, Miss Susan, I, and Isaac were. And I felt led to buy oil, olive oil, for the house and for Michael. So we went to this shop in San Diego, and they have a company there. It's called Temecula, I guess. That's how you say it. Olive oil. Temecula, okay. Temecula. Well, I just wanted my name in there somehow. Anyway, so the olive oil company, and they have olive orchards in down San Diego area. And so I was talking to the lady that worked there. I said, how old are your olive gardens, you know, your groves? She said, they're 24 years old. And I said, that's important. I really feel like 24 is a number of perfect government. And I really feel like the oil here is for his government to come into this state. But also, this house is going to have a governmental voice. And I really feel like the oil is for you guys to carry. Now, what does the oil represent? Intimacy. It represents a spirit. Obviously, it means many different things, but it is that. So whether you use it or not, it's irrelevant to me. But I really want to leave that for you because I really believe the Lord's bringing the oil in this hour. And then he said to get wine. And I don't know if you drink wine. I don't really drink wine. But and if you got a religious spirit, this will attack you right now. And I wanted to get some wine from California, so I thought, well, they don't get much better than that. So, see, hey, it's got a bear, and it's got the whole California. I don't know if it's any good, but it makes the point I want to make. And it's made somewhere, California red wine, bottled in Locations Wine, wherever that is, St. Helena. All right. Is that near here? Helena. I'm saying all the names wrong. All right. But anyway, so I got that. And I really felt like this speaks to the wine of the Spirit that God wants to pour out here, and especially on this house, Michael, really on this house. I want to do this. And I really felt like that. And then he said, get some bread, some wheat bread. And so Michael put us at a hotel right next to this, how do you say their name? Shots, which is evil to put you in a hotel right next to this place. My gosh. I mean, it's like you smell it. You know, you walk over there, and we ate there yesterday. It was really good. So to buy some wheat and the bread of the word and so forth that God wants to bring. But in this passage, and then I heard the scripture. It said, do not damage the oil and the wine. That's what I heard in the spirit. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, verse 6, and it says, and I heard something, a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. Now, that's what I heard. And we could do a whole teaching on these seven seals, and there's so much controversy on what they all mean. If you read 10 commentaries, you get 10 totally opposite doctrinal beliefs. So the only way you're going to understand these passages is by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You have to have revelation of what it represents. And the Lord spoke to me. This is my take. You can. I asked Bill Johnson one time, which way do you believe about him? He says, well, the last sermon I listened to, that's what I believe now. Because, you know, everybody always has a great sermon on them, so I'll just believe that. But this is the Antichrist spirit in the earth, obviously. That's what these are speaking of. And it tells us I think this day has already happened, some of this stuff. I think it's still here. Talk about famine and so forth, where everything costs so much. 1980s, remember us having bread lines in America? Most, if you're old enough, you remember that under Jimmy Carter, our president, and this president's using the same exact policies he did. So we're headed down that same road where you're going to have the same exact results. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. You're going to have that same result. So we had that place, and where it got to be costly. But the Lord does a rebuke here to the devil. And I want to say this is a rebuke over this area. The Lord is rebuking Satan in this area. And he says, you can charge more prices. You can make life hard on these people. You can bring hardship to them in these judgments, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever the enemy's trying to do, attack, whatever. You can do certain things, the Lord's saying, but you cannot touch the oil and the wine. You cannot touch my anointing. You cannot touch my people's anointing. It will flow. It will continue to flow. It will be an everlasting flow. It will come from heaven, and it will not run out. And you will not touch the wine. You will not touch the anointing and the power of God in this area. You will not stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. So in the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of everything that's happening, we're going to have the oil in the Spirit. We're going to have the wine in the Spirit. It's going to be here. It's like it's off limits. It's just like God told Satan in the book of Job, you can do this and this and this to him, but you can't take his life. You cannot touch him there. And so I want you to understand this. I'm prophesying, I'm declaring over this area, especially this region, that the oil and the wine is going to flow. There is going to be an outpouring. There is going to be a power release in this area. And I'm not coming here to be, you know, with great words today. I came here to demonstrate the power of God. And I want to say that because we're going to prophesy some things here in a minute. We believe we've come here to push and demonstrate that God is real and can turn this area around and can turn this state around, can turn this whole West Coast around for the glory of God. In 1998, I was in Washington, D.C. Susan and I were with our two older children. Zach was with us, was he, when we went there? Yeah, he would have been old enough, yeah. Isaac's younger than that. But we were there at an End Time Handmaidens and Servants conference. Have you ever heard of those people, End Time Handmaidens? The craziest women you've ever met in your life. You talk about flags. I mean, you couldn't come in the building without one. It was like wild intercessory. I didn't even really enter into worship. I just was watching. I was like, this is interesting. So it was like a carnival for me. But I'd never been in that environment. But the anointing was so strong. I said, man, I need some of this. And I'd just come out of Pensacola, and I had that revival touch my life. And I said, this is something new. I want something here. And I understood it had to do with intercession and travail for our nation and for the nations of the earth. And really, that's what it was about, and that's the whole conference. Well, Carol Arnott was there from Toronto. And Carol had had an encounter with an angel, with the sword of the Lord. And this angel had appeared to her and gave her this sword and said that you're supposed to anoint certain people with this, and they're going to walk in this mantle of the sword of the Lord in the season ahead. And it was, she gave an invitation for people that would want this anointing, but she put the fear of God in you and said, you better be right with God and you better know what you're asking for, because if you're not, this thing will come against you and da 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 da. So the crowd was very slim that came forward. You know, everybody wants the anointing, but they don't want the price. You know, they don't want to pay the price. And that's, you know, when John was told to eat the little book in Revelation, remember he said, the angel said, eat the book. And he said it was as sweet as honey to his lips, but it was bitter in his belly. You know what that is? That's when you hear the word, yes, and then you realize the price, and you go, no. You know, and it's like, I don't want that in my belly. I just want the lemon. I want the honey stuff. I love that. The price, not for that. And so, but then John ate the book, right? It was sweet to his lips. It was bitter in his belly. Then he says, you must prophesy again to the nations. So he had to go and fulfill his mandate, which he was a prophet, to prophesy to the nations. And so I felt that's what the call was for this sword. And so I got in line. I knew I wanted everything God had. And I'll never forget it. She walked, there was probably, this is a crowd of 3,000 plus people. And I imagine about 50 people came forward after an invitation to that many. So she laid it out properly. I think that's the way it should have been laid out, in the fear of God. And she touched me. When she laid hands on me, started prophesying to me. I don't know what happened to me. I felt this electricity go through my body. I felt something touch me in such a mighty way. And I knew something got imparted to me with the sword of the Lord. And I knew that. And from that night forward, I began to dream and have visions like movie screen, Technicolor. I mean, I was seeing world events. I'd see crises. Everything I'd see would happen. And I'd never experienced that before. That was all new to me. And I didn't understand. The next night, I go, what's going to happen tonight? You know, because it was night after night after night for months and years. It just went on. It's still going on now. It hasn't stopped. And I knew I got an impartation. And many of the things I first got after I had that encounter, I had so many dreams and encounters, I am now seeing fulfilled today. In 2021. And some of them I saw was in California. I saw that Washington, Oregon, California, and Arizona are the epicenter of the war for the nation. And I was taken above the nation in this one encounter. I started on the East Coast, and I began to go across the land, and I began to see. And I was excited. I was like, this is it. I'm going to see them in my nation in this encounter. And when I came to the West Coast, I saw utter destruction. I saw Washington, Oregon, California, and Arizona like it had been a war zone. And I knew the Lord was saying to me, this is the battleground. And after that, in the encounter, all of a sudden we were being persecuted. I mean, literally, the government was persecuting us, not just the social media, not just the platforms, the government. I remember they wanted our names. They wanted the people that we worshiped with. They wanted to know where we were meeting. They wanted to know all these things. And I've been to Eastern Europe. I've been to Turkey. I've been to places like that. She's been to China. That's normal there. That's extremely normal there. And they do that on a regular basis. They know where the underground churches in most of those nations, the government fully knows where they are, knows who they are, knows exactly what they're doing. And so they don't prosecute them or do something to them until they need to, many times. And I saw that, and I saw the West Coast was a target. And I thought, Lord, does this have to happen? That's my cry. Does it have to happen? And the Lord says, you have a watch to be on. You're responsible for your watch. And so I realized that we're on a watch right now. And for you as the Californians, we're looking to you to help the nation. We're praying for you. We're standing with you. Lord told us to go up to Sacramento this week. We're going to stand in your capital, and we're going to pray there. We're going to decree some things there because we feel like we're responsible to do that, to partner with the body of Christ here. But if you guys don't stay on the wall and you don't fight, the whole nation could fall. And we could fall into this level of persecution that you've never seen before. What we're seeing now is nothing compared to what's coming. Oh, Facebook, stop it. You're being a bad boy. That's kind of all they're doing to us right now. You know, we're talking about serious stuff that can come. When you read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, you know, there's one line, blessed are the meek, you know, she'll inherit the king. There's three verses out of all those for persecution. And he says, you'll count it all joy when you go through that. You'll leap for joy. You'll dance for joy. Because I don't think we've really been persecuted for really standing up for the gospel. Most people in the church right now that are being persecuted on social media is because they're being stupid. And they're provoking it. And they're provoking fights and things like that. And they don't need to do that. Look, you do what you're called to do in the kingdom. If persecution comes, then rejoice. But if you do something stupid, you're getting what you deserve. And I think that's something that we need to be really wise about. Because I've seen people say, oh, we're being persecuted. I said, no, you're not. Look at that comment you made. That provoked people to anger. And you're not called to do that. You provoke them to jealousy to have what you have. That they desire what you're carrying. That they want that peace. And we've done that before. We've demonstrated that. Where we've cried out. We minister a lot to Jewish people. And I remember we had a Jewish general from Israel come speak for our congregation. Not a believer. Doesn't know Jesus. I think it said it was like his first time to ever be in a Christian church ever. And we were just there to honor Israel, to pray for Israel, and say we're standing with him. That's all we did. We brought him in. So I get up to introduce him, and I invited the local Jewish synagogue and temple to come, and they were in the audience as well. So right for Sunday morning service. We did worship. We changed it. We did some Hebrew, and we just tried to, you know, make them feel comfortable in this environment. And I know I said, I know some of you are asking why we do this. Why are you doing this? Because a lot of Jews ask me that all the time. Why do you love us? Why do you reach out to us? And I said, you know, our Jewish Messiah, I always say that to them, because they want to make Jesus not Jewish. They want to make him a Gentile. He's not. He's Jewish. So I tell them, I said, our Jewish Messiah said to love others as you love yourself. And when I said this, this is no lie, and it's Sunday morning, thunder outside shook the building. I mean, literally rocked the building. And I remember the rabbi stood up and started applauding. I mean, it's like it was a moment. I was scared. I thought, man, God, what are you saying? But it was a sign and a wonder. It made. Yeah, no, that's right. No greater love hath no man than he lays down his life for his friend. That's what I said. Yeah. My she's my autocorrect. Anyway. So that's important. It is more powerful. You're absolutely right. So we do that. And so then the general, I said, general, come up and speak. And he was undone. This is a stoic man. He's a general. He led the Gazan wars, stuff like that they've had there. I mean, he's stoic. He can hardly talk. I mean, he's got tears in his eyes. And he goes, I don't know what to say. He didn't know what to say in that environment. And so, anyway, he finally got his act together and shared what was going on in Israel and so forth. So we're walking down the hall to my office after the meeting. He goes, that was the most amazing service, whatever y'all call this, I've ever experienced in my life. And then we went to lunch afterwards, and I'm sitting across from him. He goes, now, how did you get that thunder thing to happen? Yeah. I mean, it was a straight-up question. It wasn't like he wasn't being facetious. He's like, I had something to do with that. And that's what he thought. And it was my opportunity to share with them. And the Jews say this to us all the time. They say this to us. You make us jealous. Wow. They say, how does that worship leader, I had Jewish guys say, how does that person playing the piano, how do they, it's like they talk directly to God. How do they do that? And that's that provoking of the power of God that we have got to do with our life. We can't just be screaming at the liberals and screaming at the evil and thinking that they're going to want what we have. We got to have dialogue with those people and have conversations with them. Now, look, I want to scream and I want to yell. When I say we're all going through this grieving process, I'm part of it. The only thing that's going to save our nation right now is what Michael said here a while ago, is the church. It's only going to save the nation, but it's going to take desperation from our hearts to cry out for our nation. And I'm not there yet. I'm still in that angry thing. I'm still in that frustration phase. I'm going through this grieving process. I've watched my nation fall apart. And I'm still in that grieving. And I have these moments of brokenness and just desperation. But then I watch the news again. And the next thing you know, I'm angry again. So the Lord is rooting that out of me. Because that anger, that bitterness, that frustration is not going to change this nation. It may make me do something soulish, but it's not going to do something in the spirit. Are y'all with me? So, when Michael took me to the building over here in Bishop, we went in and looked at it, just check it out. I realized I was at the right place. I had a dream the other night when we were in Victoriaville. What's it called? Victorville. I've got all the names wrong, all right? Remember, I'm from Louisiana, right? All right, okay. Wait till you come to our state and try to say some of our names. But for the last three nights, I've been dreaming about this ministry and this region for the last three nights. Last night, the night before, I said, God, can you please let me sleep? Because if I wasn't in a dream, I was having a vision. And I literally was just being tossing and turning because I was seeing so much for this area. And the Lord spoke to me while I was down there. And I had this dream about y'all. And I was on a rooftop. Michael gave his dream. He was on a rooftop. And I was overlooking this area. And I was watching. And what I saw, and I won't tell you the dream. I'll just give the interpretation of it. In the dream, the power has been taken away. And the enemy, the thief, has changed the minds of the people in this area. And they need their minds renewed in order to believe for the power to come back. That's what the dream basically said. And so, it's the funny part of it. In the dream, I'm told that the enemy had planted this thing in the toilets, the commodes, and that was stopping the power, and that it was in the piping, you couldn't flush it. In the dream, I was called here to come flush for you guys and to clean up the messes in the toilet. And so I tell this to Michael, and we're in this building. He goes, this is weird. He says, the toilets don't work here, right? They can't flush them. And that's stuff you can't make up, right? And so I said, okay, I'm at the right place, at the right time, for the right purpose, to help you flush. We're here to get this stuff cleaned out. And we had a conference once, Bob Jones, if you remember who he is, but he came to our house and he said, boy, y'all are plugged up. And he goes, y'all are all plugged up. You need to get flushed here. You know, he's from Arkansas. I think, thanks, Bob. You know, we flew you in here, paid your hotel. That's the word of the Lord. You're plugged up. And they said, now that's what we're here for. We're here to unplug you. I said, thank you. And then, of course, they helped us. And then we had Chuck Pierce come in. He was going to fly in the next day or so. He flies in. They pick him up at the airport. He went straight to the building. We didn't talk to him. He walks up to the platform. He walks in. Boy, y'all need to flush here. I was like, thank you, bro. Man, you're really encouraging us today. But I knew what had happened. We were plugged up. And the things that God wanted to do in that area were plugged up, and we needed to flow. We needed to get it going. We were in spiritual constipation. It's really what it was. And so we had to get that done. And they did. We blew that thing open, man. Angels started showing up. It was just like, it was amazing meetings what happened after that. And then we saw the fruits of it for years to come. And I'm here to tell you, you have some of the same problems. I believe that's why God brought me here. Now the enemy, the thief, wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's been built here. And I believe this was for this house too. That there has been things, this house has experienced the power of God. It knows what the power of God is. It has experienced it in the past. And it doesn't need to be a faint memory. It needs to be something that's going to happen again. And in the dream, I knew we could help. And I felt like that's why we're here. And we're here to help unplug you guys. And to get you to a place where you start believing. So you're going to have to change your mind. Well, that sounds like a law. I said, okay, well, I'll start working on that. I'll go read some books. I'll get some, you know, theories. I'll start working on some things. I'll renew my mind. No, that only renewal of the mind is coming from Christ. Be transformed. It has to take a transformation. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to transform your minds. So you can't come up with some program or something that's going to bring the power of God. What it's going to do is you're going to say, God, I'm broken. I'm desperate. I want the power of God. California needs the power of God. This region up here in this area needs the power of God. The power's out. In the dream, the Lord said to me clearly, you better get a handle on this thing, because this thief is waiting for the opportunity to come in. Now, in this dream, the thief was like in the attic. And he was waiting for us not to be there so he could come and steal, kill, and destroy. So what the enemy's trying to do is get people out of here. No offense, Jack. He's trying to get people out of here so that there's no house here to fight for the power of God. Sometimes it's, and this, he's following the Lord. I'm not here. This, please don't take this personally. Sometimes people in the church are potted plants. And their pots have wheels on them. And you look at them, if you didn't look at the pot, oh, they're growing, they're beautiful. But you look down, you see the wheels, which means they can get out of there at any time. And there takes a time, you got to get out of the pot, and you got to plant yourself. And you got to say, I'm here. I have a hard issue with that when you say you love an area, but you don't even want to live in the area. You got to plant yourself in that region. What does God ask you to do there? And then begin to grow there. A pot has a limited root system. It can only grow to a certain extent. When it's in the ground, it has unlimited growth potential. Where you can grow in such a way that you can have everything that God has for you. And right now, I believe there's a temptation to just lock it down, close yourself in, go in your own little world, protect you and your family, which sounds noble, but actually it's selfish. We have been called to give our life for the kingdom. We've been called to give our life for others. And that means we lay our lives down. And we say, look, my family, I love my family, but I lay my family down. We that same conference that we were in D.C. in 98, my oldest son, he's 5 years old, and at that time, I think he was around five, yeah. He was a little bit older, about 10, wasn't he? I can't remember, yeah. But he was born in 88, that's right. So he's 10, and so we're there, and David Walters, he's a children's minister, was there speaking. Katie Walters, if you know his wife, she's out there too. But anyway, so he calls to the audience. He says, give your firstborn to the nations. I'm like, nah, because I had a plan for my son. I love baseball. I did at that time. I wanted to name him Nolan Ryan. That's what I wanted to name him. And Susan wouldn't let me. So we named him Jacob Ryan. Anyway, I was going to be his manager. I was going to get him training. I was going to do all this stuff. You know, I had this plan. And this guy says, give your firstborn to the nations. I said, no, I'm not doing it. And he's standing right next to me. And he makes this call. And the Spirit just starts pulling on me. And I don't know what happened, because I was way in the back. I don't know what happened. Next thing I know, I'm at the altar holding my son's hand. I don't know how I got up there. I'm looking back at my seat. I said, how did I get here? And he says, now dedicate them to the nations. I'm like, no. So next thing, I'm praying the prayer. I'm releasing my son to the nations. And I said, God, he's yours. And I released my firstborn. Now my son, he's a missionary in Japan, married a Japanese girl. Speaks, reads, writes Japanese, never coming home. He said, that's my home, Dad. I'm not leaving. Because we dedicate him. See, that sacrifice, it seems like it's a lot, but it's not really a sacrifice. It's obedience. See, obedience is, they're not ours. They belong to the Lord. In my dream here, also, the enemy, especially after the second generation here, we have those who have been here for a long time, the second generation of people coming here, that's who the enemy really wants to take out, because the second generation wants to leave. And so we got to fight for the second generation. Your children, you know what I'm saying? They need to stay, and they need to stay in the fight. That is the passion. That's why I'm here, is to call your second generation to stay as well and to make sure that they stay in the fight. We call it brain drain in Louisiana, where we get kids that graduate college and they just leave. You know, they get free education because we give free college tuition if you got good grades. And so they get their education and then they leave. And next thing we have a brain drain. We lose intelligence in our state. And so what you don't want is you want to be able to, if you're going to sow into somebody, you want to reap that harvest. And you guys have sown into the next generation. You have. Michael, you're a second generation anointed here because this is you didn't plant this house. So the enemy would want to take him out. Get him out of here. Get him and Heather out of here. Check out. Let's move. And look, pastors do that every Monday. They consider that every Monday. You know, it's like, okay, it's great meeting, you know, but it would be easier if I wasn't here. I've resigned thousands of times. I have thousands of times. But then I re-up the next day, Tuesday, again, prayer meeting, I'm back. So it's normal because, you know, sheep bite. If y'all didn't know that, they bite. And so you got to deal with that all the time. But I want to say this as I close because I want to start prophesying over some people. In the story of the virgins of Matthew 25, there's the wise virgin and the foolish virgin, right? We know the story. And they all needed oil for their lamps, right? The kicker of that story is they knew where to get the oil. The wise had it, and the foolish knew they could go get it. So it wasn't like they didn't know where the anointing was. They didn't know how to get it. And I want to say that for the especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I think that's what the wise virgins speak of. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit versus those who were not. They were saved. They got saved. They had the oil enough to get saved, but they didn't have the baptism. I believe that with all my heart. And, you know, for many years, I grew up in a Baptist church where we believed in cessation theology, which meant everything stopped after the first century and there wasn't any of that. And, you know, the John MacArthur type theology type stuff, you know, Dallas theological groups like that. And we were all taught that. And I believed that until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I realized, well, they lied. You know, that wasn't true. You know, or they were deceived, one or the other. But I want to say this. The Lord spoke to me the other day because John MacArthur's still out there. He attacks us. You know, what you guys do in here, I'm not picking on him as a person. He's just he's a movement. He represents a movement. But the Lord said to me, that movement is becoming a dinosaur. That's what he said. They're becoming a dinosaur, and they're about to go into extinction. Because in crisis, the Holy Spirit becomes very important. I'm in India. I'm ministering in India. I met this Southern Baptist couple standing behind me in this meeting. There were Southern Baptist missionaries there. Now, Southern Baptists at that time, you could not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you had to get off the mission field. You lose all your support. Period. That was their doctrinal rule. So we're in worship. They're behind me. So we start worshiping. All of a sudden, I can hear them. They're singing loud. But all of a sudden, you know, and they're just, I turned around and I'm like, come on. And he looked at me, saw me. He goes, I know. He said, we'd lose everything if they found out. He said, but this is so demonic here. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't survive. So that's our only hope here. And I said, well, I'm all for you, man. Now the Baptists have changed their doctrine. They have, thank goodness. They allow, if you're on the mission field, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now that's a doctrinal statement. They allow it if you're on the mission field. Just don't do it at home. You know, it's not. But even in the Baptist church, it's starting to shift. It is. Even Dallas Theological now, who used to be a proponent of all this, have said, look, we don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we do believe it's real. We don't teach it. We're not, that's up to you, but we can't deny the reality of it. So that's where the dinosaurs are going to die. And these people have been attacking us because it's been good for us in some ways because it makes us ground ourselves in the Word. Because when they attack you, you have to prove yourself in the Word. You can't just say, you're wrong. You have to say, here's why. The Word of God says this. And so it helped us in that sense. But it also now it's going to be in a place where we're going to demonstrate it. And we're going to need it. In that story of the ten virgins, we think about those two groups. But there's actually a third group in that story. There's a group of people who shout. Because the foolish and the wise were asleep. So even the baptized in the Holy Spirit people are asleep. And we want to say, hey, we're part of the wise. Well, the wise are asleep. That's why we're praying for an awakening. Good that we'd be awakened. And so what's going to happen now is there's a third group of shouters who are going to the mountaintops and say, wake up. You know, the Lord's coming. It's a season where not just coming the physical second coming, but he's coming to California. He's coming to Washington. He's coming to Oregon. He's coming to Arizona. Okay, that we wake up these people And I want us to be a part of that third group. Because they had the Holy Spirit. They knew what time it was. And they knew it was time to wake up the church. So I'm here to wake anybody in this room or anybody listening on stream or whatever. That if you're not awake, I'm here to shout and say, wake up! Because if you don't wake up now, you're going to lose everything our forefathers have fought for. And if we, you know, well, the church will still function. Well, look, it says in Timothy, it says that we should live in tranquility and in peace in the land. That's what God wants. I'm sitting on a word, standing on a word, I should say, Rick Joyner gave in June. He said God spoke to him, and let's pray he's right. He said that God is going to let America get its sanity back in 2 years. So it tells me there's going to be a 2-year trial. And then I thought, oh, good, 2 years. And there's a 2022 election. I'm like, come on. And he says, and don't count on the election bringing the sanity. So I'm like, well, man, you stole my crutch from me, dude. I was crutching along with that one, you know. And it was in this place that we cannot look to politics to be our savior. It is a, yes, God has got us engaged in the governmental mantle and the mountain right now. But the fact is, that is not our salvation. And look, I believe Trump was supposed to be the president. I voted for him. I believe the election was probably stolen. I believe all those things. It doesn't matter. He's not my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. And He is our Savior for this place. And if we put our trust in this and all this weirdness that's going on out there right now, He's going to be back in office this year. No, He's not. He's not. The Constitution doesn't allow that anyway. But the fact is, we've got to be in this place. Did y'all know yesterday, we were? If you believe that, you're marked among a domestic terrorist. Yeah. If you believe that now. They're going to try to put out standards that say, if you believe Trump's coming back into office, you're considered a domestic terrorist. I said, Rick, you said sanity. That is insanity. Yeah. And we have got to get to this place. Actually, anybody who fights the restrictions there say they're going to mark us as well. So you think persecution is coming? I told you my dream said we're going to get persecuted by the government. And starting out here first. Y'all are our first fruit state. I'm looking for Louisiana saying, go California. But the Lord said, get in the plane while you still can fly. And I came here and I said, no, I'm part of California. I'm part of the body of Christ. It's one vineyard anyway. And we're one vineyard. And I'm here to partner with you. I'm here to partner with Michael and Heather. These guys have labored. And Jack, thank you for covering his back. Because I don't know all that's happened here. But I thank God that they have stood in the fight. And they have hung in there. And they've said, no, we're not leaving. And we're going to fight. So I want God to renew our minds. I don't want the enemy to have our minds. My favorite story is in Zach, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, other than all the other stories, is Zechariah 3, where this guy named Joshua is a high priest. And he comes in and Satan starts accusing him. And he accuses him basically of this. Your mind is messed up. You have a dirty mind. Your clothes are filthy. Your garments are filthy. Basically what he accuses him of. And so that's what cancel culture is telling us. You guys' minds, y'all are all messed up, you Christians. Cancel culture is telling us, look, your garments, you're not righteous. That's what they're saying of us. And if it's not them, it's people within the church who are saying the same things. I saw Wheaton College this week announced that we should not pay attention to Sean Foyt, that he's a distraction. He's a distraction to what's going on in this nation. And that we need to adhere to all the restrictions. We need to do all this. That's what's going to save our nation. And now Wheaton College has become, that's Billy Graham School. And they've become a very liberal university now, a seminary. That's what we're seeing. So in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, there must be factions among you so that those that are walking in truth will be known to all, will be approved by all. So the factions is important because we need to know who we're listening to and who we're following. And you need to know who you're aligned with. If you don't know, if you're not aligned properly with people that believe in truth and are going to speak to truth, you're going to suffer the consequences of being out of alignment. And there's nothing worse than being out of alignment. Because what happens? The anointing flows downward. Aaron's beard, right? The anointing flows down his beard. And if you're not in proper alignment, I don't like We use the word covering and submission. I don't like those terms because I think they've been misused. I like alignment. So when we're in the proper alignment, then everything that that person's walking in and the group they're in, it starts flowing toward me. And I have that proper. And so here it is. No matter what comes our way, whatever they start charging us for this loaf of bread, and it's probably going to go up. Whatever they charge us for the goods of this world, the oil and the wine is going to keep flowing. Amen. It doesn't matter. So don't get your eyes on the cost of natural things. Get your eyes on the truth that the oil and the wine's coming. And it's here. And right now, in my dream, the power was not here yet now. It's all around you. In my dream, it was everywhere around you. It just wasn't here. And I'm here to say, we're here to turn the power on. We're here to activate the power. We're here. I'm your electric company, and I've found out where the transformer went out, and I'm here to fix the transformer and just be a partner with you and say, ah, there's the problem right there, and we're going to fix that thing, and then the juice is going to start flowing. You ever have your electricity come back on your house and how relief that is? Well, you live where I do in the 100-degree weather, 90% humidity. You're really happy when it comes back on. It's like, whew, now. That's what I believe God wants to do here. Is that a good word? Hope that encouraged you, Michael. If anything I said wrong, please clean it up. And just do it next week when I'm not here, all right? My Pastor Tim missed it on this one, this, and this. You know, it doesn't bother me. I submit to whatever he feels truth is in this house and what God's called him to do here. And I love this man. I love what he carries here. I really feel like we want to sow into your Bishop, our house is going to sow into that. We're going to be a part of that. Just send you some money. How about that? Just send money. You know, I hate prophecies without money. All right, God, you're going to start a business, brother. You know, well, okay, I need some money to start that business. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Send the money. So we want to sow into that. We do. Is that? I really feel like we're supposed to. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for Church on the Mountain. I thank you for California. Lord, I love this state. I love what its purpose. And I say, Lord, that it will be golden again. And Lord, the tarnished gold of man that has tried to be created by man has not produced righteousness. But Lord, we thank you that you tell us to buy from you gold. And Lord, I decree and I prophesy the California church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia here is going to buy gold. And they're going to have new eye salve. I break off the Laodicean spirit on this state that thinks they're rich and in need of nothing, but they're wretched, they're poor, they're blind. And Lord, I decree that, Father, the lukewarmness is going to be broken off of this region. And that there's going to be power come to California like never before. And the power of God's going to be demonstrated here. Lord, we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. But beyond that, we're going to see the power to transform lives. Lord, to transform corrupt structures and bring righteousness to those structures. Lord, we thank you that you're going to lay an axe to the root of darkness that has tried to rule in this state with the Antichrist spirit. And we say that, Lord, it is against you, and therefore you are against it. Lord, we decree that your favor will fall upon this house and upon these people here today. And that, Lord, they'll have favor in the marketplace. They'll have favor everywhere they go. They'll have favor, Lord, in the places of justice. We decree that Sacramento is about to have a shaking. I prophesy this. There's going to be a shaking in that air. You watch. The Lord said, even watch the natural environment. For there will be things that happen in Sacramento that will be a sign to you that God says, enough is enough. My hand is moving upon the land there. My hand is moving upon the voices. The Lord said, I will take out voices that have not decreed my heart for this state. For those that have come, Lord, in that place, I felt this in the Spirit. There are many that have come out of that place that say they care, but they care not. They are the unjust judges of Luke chapter 19. They are the unjust justice who don't care about the people and do not care or nor fear God. And the Lord said, if God would answer the prayer even through that woman who prayed to them and asked for justice there, how much more will he give justice to my people who cry out day and night? And the Lord said, I'm releasing day and night anointing worship here. And there's going to be a passion for worship in this region. And there's actually going to be a sound come out of this mountain again. And I say a sound that's been here before, but it'll be a new sound. It will have the roots from the past, but it'll have the treetops of the future. And I say this in the Spirit. There's going to be creative anointing in this house, Michael, and to many that are here. And Lord, I thank you for the sound that's coming out here. It won't just be music, but it'll be a sound that will shake this nation. And the Lord said there'll be echoes, the sound of music. You know, in that movie where they got that big horn thing. There's going to be a horn of plenty come out of California that will release the sound of the Spirit. And watch, the Lord said, watch and see that if there are not people that are raised up in this state to begin to shift legislation in this nation. There will be those that have been on the wrong side. They're going to flip in the name of Jesus. I call flip to come to this state right now. That things that have been one way, they're going to flip another way. They're going to move into a new place with the Lord. And those hearts that are going to be rendered short of coming short of the glory of God are going to be realized. And what's going to happen, they're going to go, I have failed and only God is the answer. I have failed and God is the answer. And I decree that. We call forth the oil and the wine. We thank you, Lord, that the oil of the Spirit of intimacy is coming back like never before. The oil of the Spirit for our lamps. Lord, we put that shout in the Spirit to awaken a sleeping church. Even the baptized in the Holy Spirit church, even those that claim to know the things of the Spirit, let us not be deceived in any way and realize that when we're asleep, Lord, we don't even know it. You know when you find out when you're asleep is when you'll wake up. You didn't even know you were asleep until you woke up. Something has to awaken you. Something has to move. A revival has to touch your heart so that you know now, I've been asleep. Yes. So that means you need to be touched by the Holy Spirit. I'm over there praying earlier, and I said, Lord, I don't have enticing words of man's wisdom today, but I want the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And the brother walks by me and goes, do you have a word for us? You need to bring the power. And I said, okay, that's the word here. And I really believe God is bringing the power. What's your name, sister?
Lauren.
Lord said, Lauren, meek and mild you've been, but a roaring lion you will be. And the Lord said, I'm putting a roar within you to release the sounds of the Spirit. And the wounds of the past will not determine the voice of the future. And there has been disappointment, hope deferred has tried to hit you many times. It's tried to get in your belly and cause you to feel sick. And you have fought and you have fought and you have persevered. It tried to put on your mind that you cannot get past a certain level. And the Lord said the ceiling is wide open. There's no limitation to the heights that you can go. And the Lord, I want to say this in the Spirit. You're not going to be who Lauren was 2 years ago. These last 2 years have been very, very difficult in some areas. It's been a very trying time. Not just because of COVID. Just because, just life. And the Lord said, I have not forgotten my promises. And things that you've seen in the Spirit from past that are unfulfilled will be fulfilled in this next season. The promises of people that you saw walking in places they're supposed to be walking in around you, people you're connected to, the Lord said, you're going to see it in your lifetime. You're going to see it in the very near future. You're going to see the fulfillment of that. And the passion to see in the Spirit is going to be fulfilled. I feel like God's going to activate your gift. You really have an anointing for discernment, and yet it's been hard to discern because the enemy's tried to throw a lot of twisted things at you. And the Lord has said, this is a season you're going to unwind and untwist what the enemy has twisted. And things are going to start lining up line upon line for your life and for your purpose. And you're going to have an understanding. You're going to go, ah, that's what that was about. That's what that was about. The glory of God is upon your life right now. I release that over you. I thank you for this woman now in Jesus' name for Lauren. Bless her, Father. Okay. That makes sense. Amen. What's your name, man?
Bill.
Bill. Everybody knows Bill, don't they? Bill. That old character, Mr. Bill. Oh, no. you know, Mr. Bill was manipulated. You're not a manipulated man. The enemy has, man, you've been on a rough road. I saw the enemy tried to mangle your mind. That's the best way I can put it. He tried to mangle your mind in the past, and you pushed through. You should have been dead 3 to 4 times at least. At least. Maybe more. Where the enemy has tried and tried to take you out. And you have persevered. You have pushed through. And God has been faithful to you, Bill. And I want to say this to you. I felt like there's this thing on you like David. Where David, you know, he messed up so much he didn't feel like he could finish some works. And I want to say this. You can finish what God put before you. And there's some things that God has put before your heart. I see you a loner in the sense that you'll go talk on a mountain, just talk to God, and you'll just walk around. You know, people probably look at, ooh, who's he talking to? And you've been, you don't care anymore. That left you a long time ago because you realized the approval of men is worthless. And you have sought the approval of the Father. And not saying you did everything right, and you know you haven't. But the Lord has honored your heart. It said of Abraham that he always walked in belief. Even when he was with Hagar, he still believed. And you've been in your past with Hagar's, trying to create something for yourself. I'm not talking about women. I'm just talking about just creating something for yourself, birthing something. And it never worked. And created, actually you created, you produce problems. But I'm telling you, your Isaac's here. And your promise is here. And that God can restore all your past mistakes. And yes, they've come back to bite you. You've reaped what you've sown. But now the Lord said, I'm going to give victory over your past. And I'm going to say that my promises are yes and amen. Regardless, because you kept it in your heart and you kept believing. So I decree over Bill that he will continue to believe all the days of life, and he'll have every promise over his life. You're worthy of a warrior. You're worthy to be a warrior, and you are a warrior. I'd want you in my foxhole. I'd want you there fighting with me. In the name of Jesus, I decree that over you. Okay. Amen. Amen. That good word. Okay. Now, I don't know what time y'all usually get out of here. We're probably way past. So I have no offense if you leave. I mean, really, I tell people, please leave. You know, if you need to run, you got to go. The restaurant's waiting on you, whatever. Whatever you need to do, that does not offend me. And I'll just pray for whoever's here. That's kind of what, usually nobody ever leaves when I say that. But I just want to say I'm willing to do that. I feel like I told Mike, I'm here to serve. I love ministers to come to my house and say, hey, we want to partner with you, rather than come and doing their thing, sell their book to you and then leave. You know what I'm saying? We need to come here and say, we're with you in California. We're building the structure here. And I just want to pray over the minds. Are y'all together? Do y'all like each other? Okay, that's good. All right. What's your name?
Adam.
Tatiana.
Y'all record this, right?
We're from San Diego.
Okay, good. A lot better. Yeah, not from there. Okay, yeah, it's better weather down there, that's for sure. I asked Mike why they leave the heater on here. But anyway, I think it's because of the fire of God's here. So I thank you for this team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lord said, you've been in the reserve units, and I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up. You've been in the background, ready to fight. You've trained. You sought the face of God on certain things. But you've been in the reserve. And the Lord said, it's time to go to the front line. You're going to the front of the battle now. The Lord has prepared you for this hour, both of you. He has put it in your heart to see righteousness prevail. And it's been a very difficult season of understanding placement. Where are we placed? Where do we fit? Where is our place? And that whole thing. And the Lord is saying, today is a day I'm going to place you where I need you. And in this place, there's a pressing in that you've got to release fears from the past. of wounds and abuse. That's the best way I can put it. Not so much physical abuse. I'm just talking about emotional, spiritual abuse in the past where people didn't understand some things over you. And that day's over. I decree that over you. And the Lord said, there's not going to be that anymore. There's going to be not only abuse, no more abuse, but there's going to be a release. And the release of the Spirit is going to come over your lives. Now, for you, sister, there's a gift of the prophetic to see. You're a seer. It's different. Prophet and seer are the same thing. But this seer sees visions and sees weird stuff, you know, just like really, very symbolic stuff. And you have that gift on you. And the Lord said your bloodline goes deep and touches many nations. Even though you're here in America and you carry our bloodline now within you, you also carry bloodlines not just, I saw like many nations inside of you. If you were to do your DNA test, it would blow up because I just see nations in you. And the Lord said, I've birthed in your heart for the nations. Don't despise your roots. The Lord said, embrace your roots because I gave you a heart for my heart. And I saw Psalms 2 over you, which is the Lord said he laughs at his enemies, but he longs for the inheritance of the nations. And this is your cry. And the Lord said you're going to be an intercessor and a warrior and a prophetic voice to prophesy into the nations and begin to call nations into their prophetic destiny. This may sound like a simple call, but it's a major call because there are nations in California. They're everywhere. And you're going to walk to and fro, and you're going to see that, and you're going to call them out of where they are, out of darkness, into the marvelous light of God. You're going to pull them out of witchcraft and idolatry. I'm talking about literal witchcraft and idolatry, where they worship idols, where they call out to Satan himself. You're going to have an anointing with that type of people and call them out of that. You're going to call them, I saw people around you crushing their idols, literally breaking them, burning them, throwing them away, as God gives you the grace to walk in the gifts of the Spirit with them. And you're going to call out words of knowledge that they will not know that anybody knew about. And as you walk in that, it's going to blow them away. You're going to see people saved by words of knowledge. You're going to tell them their problem, and they're going to get saved. You're not going to have to introduce Jesus to them. The Word will. The Word Himself will introduce Himself to them. And they're going to come to that saving knowledge. I just release that over you. I break cycles off your family. This is your bloodline. I break cycles of idolatry off your family. I break cycles of witchcraft and trusting in ancestral worship, things like that. I break it off your bloodline, and I say you're being released a new authority to break it off other bloodlines. That word's going to become very important to you, bloodlines. And for you, sir, this warrior anointing, this whole thing, you know, you try to stay reserved in the naturals, you know, emotionally. Hold your emotions in reserve. But I'm telling you, God says you're about to lose control of your emotions. The Holy Spirit's going to take you over. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You go, what the heck's going on with me? And it's because the Holy Spirit's going to take over your life. And everything you've prided yourself on being so reserved and have it all together, you're going to lose it. The Lord's going to enjoy your embarrassment in order that you can have the freedom that God has for you. This was taught to you. It was actually demonstrated to you by your bloodline. And this is this is what it means to be a man. This is what it means to be that. And the Lord says, I'm going to teach you what it means to be a man of God. And you're going to walk as a friend of the Lord in all that you do and say. I decree that in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. 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 Does that make sense to you guys? I like that. All right. You tell me to stop whenever you want me to. All right. All right. You will, right? Okay, good. Your name? What's your name?
Yeah.
Ashley. That's right. All right. Thank you for Ashley. I feel like you've been in a 15-round fight. It's like you're a boxer. And, I'd say you're Jewish or Italian. You know, you're something like that. You just have this whole thing, this moxie on you. Just like, I can see you doing your fingers, you know, just this whole thing. Listen to me. That's your personality. It's your DNA. You've had a rebellious streak, and your parents wondered much when you were coming up, but they loved you, in the way that they could. That's the best way I can put it. In the way that they could. And didn't know exactly how to deal with you. Because you have been independent your whole life. And you don't like anybody telling you what to do. But yet God is starting to break your heart in such a way. This past season has been a real season of brokenness. It's been a beautiful thing. And I saw the Lord begin to create the beauty of who you are. And I saw you like this statue, you know, the stone of a statue. When the chiselers started chiseling it. And that, at first you can't see the form of it, but eventually, wow, I can see it now. And you've had some angels that have been assigned to you with chisels. Literally, they have. And they've been hammering at you. But get this. They're creating the image of God in you. And this is a whole image of God that's going to come through you. And you're going to demonstrate and you're going to manifest the very image of Jesus. You're going to demonstrate it to people that wouldn't listen to anybody else. But they'd listen to you. They're going to listen to you in a special way. And you're going to relate to them. You have a geek magnet. In other words, geeky people are they're drawn to you. And you're like, why are these weird people always drawn to me? And you got to understand, the magnet is the Holy Spirit. Okay? You think, now they may come up to you, especially like guys, they probably hitting on you type stuff. But I'm telling you, you're going to be able to look at that lustful spirit and curse it. And speak to the heart that's behind it. And you're going to have a grace on you to deal with that. It's going to be a grace that's going to rest upon your life to begin to deal that. And I don't know, there's something, you know, people wear bracelets and stuff for meanings. And do you have some? Oh, you have a bunch of them, yeah. But I feel like there's something in you. They're going to want to wear a bracelet you produce. Something out of you that you produce. And they're going to go, hey, that person gave me this. And this is what I'm walking in now. And it's going to be that attribute of Christ. Now, God's going to restore some things also that have been stolen from you. I saw the enemy come in and stole many joys out of your life. Many peace moments out of your life. It's like they were snatched right from you. Right in the middle of a joyful time and a peaceful time. The enemy just took it away from you. And it's like you felt like abandonment. That's what I heard. Like abandonment was all over you. And you're like, how do I put my life back together? Everything I was hoping for and put my trust in is gone. And that's the Lord said, look, just know this. I was there in the midst of the abandonment. And I'm here to heal those moments, those trauma moments. Because if you don't get healed, you get stuck. And the Lord said, you're not going to get stuck. You're being healed right now. The renewal of your mind is coming to you right now. And you're going to start thinking better of yourself. You're going to start thinking better of who you are. And you're going to stop blaming yourself. Nobody blames you more than you blame yourself. And you have beat yourself up. I saw you look in the mirror and yelling at yourself. And the Lord said, that is not my wisdom. That's not my ways. You're going to look in the mirror in the days ahead and you're going to say, what you created, God, is good. I am good because you created me that way. And I'm going to walk in your goodness. I'm going to be great. Matthew 5:19 says you're going to walk in greatness. And you will walk in the perfection of Christ in your life. And God is perfecting some things. He's going to take some old stuff off of you and getting rid of some old stuff and putting some new stuff on. You're getting additions and multiplications. They're being added to you right now. Added. And this is what the Lord said. I'm adding authority to her. You're going to have real authority. It's one thing to have the word. It's another thing to have authority. Because you're going to have authority in the word. And so the Lord said, I'm going to put that on you right now. And you're going to speak. You're a mentor. You better get ready for it. Quit fighting it. You'd rather let other people teach. You'd rather let people mentor. Too bad, too sad. God says you're a mentor. And you're going to have to mentor others. You're going to have to sacrifice some time and some energy, but you're going to mentor others. Your patience level is really small, but the Lord said he sent fertilizer your way. And people are going to dump on you fertilizer, and you're going to grow the fruit of patience. So when those people are bothering you no end, just know that's fertilizer. Okay? It's a nice way of saying that word, right? So they're dumping their stuff on you. Father, I decree my sister's going to walk in the holiness of your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, God. What's your ethnic background?
She's Lebanese. My dad is Italian.
Yeah, there you go. Your mama? Is your mama? Yeah. Your brother? What's your name?
Justin.
Janet.
Recorded. Yeah, that's the power. That we were supposed to bring the power, right? Justin. Woo. Who am I and where am I going? Where's Waldo? I saw that. You know that little thing, where's Waldo? You've been Waldo. You have tried to find your placement. You've looked to and fro. You've tried many things. You have success in your hands. You're very gifted. You have skill, but you've not had the peace that goes with the skill. When the Lord said the prince is coming to visit you, the king's in the field, and he's about to visit you, Justin, and you're going to have an encounter with the Holy One of Israel. I'm telling you, he's going to meet you, and you're going to have an encounter with him, and he's going to mess your mind. He's going to change you. You're in transformation right now. You're like the butterfly. You're in that middle stage. It's uncomfortable because you feel squeezed. You feel like I want to control my destiny. And the Lord's not allowed you to. He's frustrated you. Actually, you know, the devil fights us, but the Lord's actually been fighting you. And you're a good fighter. And I'm not saying you're stubborn. I'm just saying you have a hard head. Okay? But it's okay. Ezekiel had a hard head. And the Lord said, I made his head a flint so that he would do my ways. And one of the things the Lord says, you're going to do his ways. And you're going to walk in his ways. And you're going to see the manifestation of his glory in your life. You're going to see it touch many people around you. There are many lost that are going to come to know the Lord through your life. There are many hurting that are going to be restored. You're going to bring comfort to those who mourn. It's a real gift. God's going to renew your mind, bud, to make you think differently. You're getting reprogrammed. Upgrade. I just decree it over you. Upgrade. You know, sometimes when you get upgraded on your computer, it slows it down for a while. And I feel like you're probably going to slow down for a little while. Don't worry. You'll catch up. And you're going to start understanding your purpose. And God's going to give you grace. He's going to restore the pain that you suffered. There's some things that were stolen from you too. I mean, just something I saw, like something got ripped right out of your heart. And I saw the Lord go in, touch your heart, heal it, sew it up, and say it's going to be stronger than it was before. Yeah. Yeah. Father, touch his heart right now. In Jesus' name, I decree that. You can have it back, brother. You can have it back. You can have your heart back. I just decree that. Remind me your name again. Mama, what's your name again?
Janet.
Janet, that's right. JJ, I remember that. Thank you for Janet. Yep. Yeah. You stood alone. I saw the winds of adversity just against your hair, and I saw your hair flying back, and you just stood alone. Nobody would stand with you. There were seasons in your life when nobody stood. And you cried out and you said, I feel alone. Even with people around you, you felt alone. And the Lord said, you'll never feel that again. That lonely spirit, it's a spirit. It's not from him. He said, he'll never leave you nor despise you. And the Lord said, you're going to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit in the darkest moments. When David said he went to Sheol, and there he was. It doesn't matter where you go, you're going to experience the presence of God. And you're going to feel this whole thing of acceptance and restoration. You're a nursing mama. And everybody's tried to eat off of you. And you have been duped by many who've drained you. You thought you were doing the right thing and they used you. But the Lord said, I'm going to give you the ability to reproduce milk. And you're going to be able to nurse more. And God says, what was stolen is going to be paid back. And the people that you gave to in a clean conscience, you thought you were doing the right thing and they abused it and took advantage. The Lord said they were still seeds of faith. And that there will be a harvest to those seeds. and that you're going to get a harvest from those things. I decree that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that makes sense? Hi, Mom. You know, Cece, when I saw you there, I was so excited to see you. Every time I come here, she's here. It's like it's weird. We can't avoid it. I think God's up to something. I saw this bouquet of flowers come out of your heart. You know, sometimes magicians will just pop the flowers out. It was like that, but it was no magic. It was the Spirit. And the Lord said, the intimacy of your ministry is going to draw people from the fragrance. And I saw the Song of Songs written over you. But when she describes the cinnamon and all the different smells and spices, the Lord said, you're one spicy girl. And you're a garden that the Lord is going to invite many to come and eat of. You're a well-nourished garden. And people are going to come just to eat in the garden. Because it's a place of peace. And it's a place of acceptance. It's a place of nourishment for the weary. And the Lord said that you're going to be one who brings your rest stop for many. Even when you're here, you're a rest stop. People get off the road of life and they come to you, and you're that rest that they so need. You're introducing them to the one who is the rest, which is the Lord. And this is a season of the unknown for you. Obviously, you can't travel. But this is a season of refinement and restoration of your strength and strategy. That's what I heard. Restoration of your strength and your strategy. And you're going to have new strength come to you and new strategy for the days ahead. For the Lord said, what you've learned in China, you will have to teach in America. What you have seen, the structures you've seen there, you're to prepare those that are here. For you to teach them wisdom in the midst of persecution. And God says, you have a book of wisdom inside of you. The Lord said, read it and teach it. In other words, read it out loud. I saw you like in a library when those, you know, they have a library where an adult reads to children. They have a reading day. And the Lord said, you're going to read from the book of wisdom. And you're going to read it to the people who will listen. They'll come voluntarily, but some will come being dragged there. Don't despise those being dragged. Go ahead and read to them as well. For the Lord said it's going to be a transformation to your audience. And the 5 to 10 around you is as strong as thousands to others. Because they can begin to go out and be sent out in the Spirit. And begin to be multipliers in the Spirit. And they will be. You're creating multipliers. And you're going to see a transformation in that area. Where you're going to see your ministry transform to be that mentor, that apostolic voice that is so needed in the earth. So I decree that to you in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Amen. I love that. Where's a couple? Yeah, a couple in the back there. You got a hat on. What's your name? Andy? Rebecca. Andy and Rebecca. Yeah. Well, Andy. I saw you in your four-wheeler, and that's how you like express your anger with the throttle. And it's like you just open it up and do dangerous things to release the stress. That's been a journey for you, is just to do that. And the Lord is going to let you, He's letting you exhaust your frustrations so that He can be the answer to the frustrations. You see things how they should be, and you're frustrated the way they are. And the Lord said, Andy, this is your season to be a problem solver rather than a problem identifier. Because you really have a discerning gift to discern problems. But the Lord said, I've gifted you to be one who solves those problems. And the Lord said, he's going to take you to people that you can resolve their problems of life in a restoration of things that have been lost. And God says, I'm going to give you this gift as a token of his anointing on your life. But as you give out, it will begin to exponentially grow. And it will grow beyond your comprehension. Rebecca, I just put this whole thing on you as well. Of I heard desperation over you. That's the word I heard over you. Desperation. Grieving in your heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to answer your desperation and I'm going to bring joy to your grieving. And this is a whole thing about your life. That there is somebody around you, family or somebody, that you've watched destroy themselves and destroy their future and has grieved you. And the Lord said, your tears are more anointed than your words. And as you have cried out, the Lord said, every tear is caught and it will be answered. He actually had a bowl. I saw a bowl beneath you, and the Lord has filled the bowl with the tears. And the Lord said, an angel is coming very soon to your life and your family and your area that you have authority over. He's going to tip the bowls, and the answers to the prayers are going to come in rapid form. It's going to be boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, things are going to start shifting, and you're going to go for years, it seems like, with no answers. All of a sudden, answer after answer, and you're finally going to go, enough, God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. So what I heard was Deuteronomy 28:2, the blessing is going to overtake you. It's going to overtake you. For the seeds of you sown in the past is going to be reaped in the future. And you're going to reap it. And you're going to literally, like Moses, when the tabernacle, they kept bringing money, and he goes, we got enough. And that's a good place to be in, that you're going to be so blessed. But the Lord said, it doesn't matter. He's going to keep bringing it to both of you, to your household, to your family. And don't you own a business? Do you own a business? Yeah. And I felt like your business is a voice, and it's going to become a greater voice. And you're going to attract a new crowd of customers, but they're really part of the harvest. Yeah, you're going to work for them and do stuff for them, but they're really part of the harvest. It's like they think they're coming to you for one reason, but they're coming to you to get whacked by the Holy Spirit. And so when they come, just know this. Look, another victim. Just call them victims. There's another victim for the Holy Ghost to have and to regenerate their minds. That's what I heard. Regeneration of their minds is going to restore their minds. So, Father, I just decree that over this couple. You know them? They good? Okay. Y'all married? Y'all like each other? Okay, that's good. Look, all right, that's good. What's your name?
Joe.
Michelle.
Joe and Michelle. Thank you, y'all. Thank you for this team. Wow, y'all are different. You know, I mean, like you're totally opposite of each other in the spirit. You know, when somebody would have looked and said, these two together, but it was God. It was so God that he put y'all together. You married up. You understand that? All right. This is the whole thing. It's like God was bringing you know, there's this thing called seesaw. You know what that is? It's a, you were down like that, and she came and balanced you and brought hope to you and brought clarity to you, because God put her in your life for that reason. That's just on your marriage issue. But I'm telling y'all are, you're going to heal many marriages. Heal many marriages. And when people think, well, I should have never married this person, those are the type of people that are going to come to you. I should have never married this person. And you're going to say, well, let's talk about what God said. And you're going to teach them about what covenant is. And you're going to teach them about how they made a vow to heaven and how they need to fear God concerning their vow. And you're going to bring healing. A lot of these are Christians. And you're going to bring healing to their marriages. And you're going to create a marriage group of people, just hanging out people. Because y'all do like to hang out. That's a big hangout anointing on you. Or you just like to, I see barbecues, you know, things like that. I see a lot of barbecues around you. Okay, so I saw them. I saw your back, wherever you live. It's just a hangout place. What could be meet both spiritually and naturally. I'll be over later this afternoon. But I saw that on your life. And you have a skill to cook right. But the Lord said you're going to have a skill to release the meat of the word to many others. And that's going to be a new anointing on your life like you've never had before. And you're going to see a real shift in your ministry. I won't call it a ministry. Everybody thinks you have to be ordained to be a minister. We're all ministers. The Bible says we equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And there's a ministerial anointing on you to be a papa to your generation. You know, you're a young man, but you're still a papa. You actually act like an old man, even though you're a young man. You got old man ways. And I want to say it's good, okay? Okay? It's like, geez, dude. It's 2021. But it's because you understand the power of the old ways. And here's what I heard, Jeremiah 16:6, I think it is. It says that we must go the ancient paths to bring rest for our souls. And your old man ways is to take people down the ancient paths, to bring them in, to bring rest to their souls. And so the Lord, I kept seeing this old pickup truck. I kept seeing this thing around you, and it's like, but like, give it up, dude. But you won't, because you see that it still has value. And what the Lord says, he's going to show you, do you actually see that for the older generation? When people say, hey, man, try to trade it in for a new one, you say, no, there's still value. And God's going to give you grace to speak into the older generation as well. You're going to have anointing, at 3G anointing. You know, everybody else is in 5, you're in 3. But I'm telling you, you're going to have a 3G anointing to touch 3 generations, above, yours, and below. It's an incredible anointing on your life. And I decree that. And for you, Mama, I'm telling you, you're a nurturer. You're a chicken that gathers the hens, you know, and just, everybody go this way, this way. You're like the partier and the director, and you're very firm. That's the word I heard. Very firm, very strong-willed. Okay, that's the best way. I'm trying to be kind. But it's good, because when you see something truth, you won't let go of it. When you see it's the right way and you drive, he calls it nagging, you call it anointing. And it's this whole thing about you see where we need to go and what we need to do. And he's like, I heard you the first time, woman. But it's a whole thing about God taking you this right direction. And you leading the chicks, you're going to lead chicks. You have young in the Lord as well as young in the natural. And you're going to have this whole thing. Look, we're gathering for a purpose. And we're going this way. So you are a dynamic duo. You're a great team. It's God's infinite wisdom to put you together. And you're going to fall in love with each other like you never have before. You're going to have a unique love. And everybody's going to want what you have. It's going to be a marital anointing, Father. I bless them. Renew their minds to believe that in the name of Jesus. Okay. Amen? Is that good? Does that make sense? All right. How are y'all? Can I mess with y'all? Yeah. What's your name?
Brian.
Rochelle.
Brian and Rochelle. Hey. As soon as I looked at you, I saw South Africa. And this is weird, because it's like the Afrikaans. That's right, because I go to South Africa a lot. But I saw it on you. And these are strong people. They have that German blood in them, and they got that Dutch blood in them, and they're just strong. And I saw that anointing on you as a strong man, like a farmer. You're like a farmer. And you will patiently wait when everybody else, and especially like you want to, let's do it now, let's go now. And he'll wait for the proper time. No wine before it's time. That's what I heard over you. And you're waiting for that maturity. You're waiting for that maturation so that you can have the greatest harvest. And so the Lord has put you in the earth to make sure that there's not premature activity in the kingdom. But we do it in proper timing. Now, you're patient. You're not a loud mouth or anything. You just, you watch and you shake your head inside. They're going to make a mistake. They'll learn from it. You really have that kind of wisdom on it. And you actually allow people to make mistakes around you and then become a teacher. You let them be teaching moments. But the Lord said there's been something that's been stifling you. It's like it's been stagnant. And the Lord said, I'm moving you from stagnation to fruitfulness. Where things in your life that had just been sitting there unmovable, unshakable, God said, I'm going to uproot and I'm going to move some things and get you momentum. And you're about to move into a momentum season of your life where what the past has held you back with, it will no longer hold you back with anymore. And you're going to actually produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. There's some dreams in you, some things you've seen that have been unfulfilled. And the Lord said, it's harvest time. I speak it over the things you've been believing for, family, things like that. Begin to believe that for the name of Jesus. And for you, sis, I heard the word extravagance on you. And you like to do everything extravagantly. Because you feel like accessories is the word I heard. You love accessories. You know, to a woman, I basically understand what that means. It means you add stuff all the time. And the husband pays for it. And so that's what I understood it to mean. But I felt like the accessories, you know that this accents this to bring a greater purpose of it. You do it in the natural, but it's a spiritual thing. We need to add this for him. Let's send him a note. Let's take him some food. Let's accessorize what God's already doing. So you add to it. So there's a real hospitality anointing on you that you have this gift to add to what God's doing and to bring the heart of the Father, the heart of the Lord to others. And this is a real gift on your life. And the Lord said it's going to grow in the days ahead. And just really like producing stuff. There's an artistic thing on you as well. Just the art of heaven is going to come into your spirit, man. Dreams and visions and encounters. And you're going to begin to release that into the earth. And when people receive what you produce, they're going to feel the presence of God. This is your purpose here. God, I thank you for this team. Anoint them, Father. Give them everything that they're called to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense? Hey, God. Does she like accessories? Do you know what that is? Yeah. Huh? You add, huh? I like it. I met you before, right? Have I met you before? No, maybe. What's your first name?
Richard,
that's right. Hey, Richard.
Hi.
Richard, when I look at you in the spirit, your strongest part of your being is your knees. And your knees speak of intercession. And it speaks of laying your hands on the horns of the altar and not letting go. Now, you're laid back. I get that. That's the Cali thing. But it's more than that. The Lord said there's an intensity in you in the midst of the laid back thing. And you know, all the California word gnarly and all the different. It's like you have all these phrases you use. You use a lot of phrases. You know, it's just part of your language. And you have a lot of sayings. Everybody, Richard knows all Richard's. Everybody knows Richard's sayings. You know, Richard says this, Richard says that, and you know how Richard always says that. You know, da 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 da. And it's you're always trying to make a point because you have this parabolic anointing. When Jesus would tell parables all the time, and you're always using parable teachings, like you're trying to explain through structure because that's how you see it. You see things how they fit together, and it's a gift from God. And I want you to understand this, because many times people don't get what you're talking about. You know, you talk to them and they're like, oh, what was that about? But then later, they're laying in bed one night and go, I know what he was meant. And so you have like, you have prophetic bombs, delayed bombs that go off later. So the Lord says, don't judge the fruit by the initial response. For the Lord said that he's put a gift on you to put stuff in people's hearts that will go off later because they have to receive the word. And because you teach them in parables at times, It gives them the grace season they need to believe the word. Whereas if you were to say, thus saith the Lord, they would be responsible at that moment, and they're not ready to be. So God's going to tell you when to speak direct because you're not afraid to. But he's also going to tell you when to tell a story. Use one of the Richard sayings. So there should be a book written, quotes by Richard. And just everybody will know that. And so I want you to understand they're treasures. You've released treasures, nuggets in people's hearts. And they are nuggets that they hold on to. When they're in a time of trial, they'll remember one of your quotes. And they go, wait, he said this. Yeah, just receive that in Jesus' name. I bless this man. I thank you, God, you put him here for this moment. And that he will flourish and grow here in this place. Lord, I thank you for that purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Are we okay? Are we okay? I don't want to. Oh, that was a couple. Yeah, I saw some stuff on y'all guys. You mind if I cut through? I'll get you. Hey. What's your name?
Jeff.
Robin.
Jeff and Robin. Okay. Thank you for this team. Thank you, Father. I saw you, like, Jeff, I saw you laying road work. In other words, you take a place that's not easily traveled and making a way for others to travel on it. And you prepare the way of the Lord. You got a little John Baptist on you. You're kind of into the locust and the honey stuff. You're into this whole thing about in the wilderness, we must be a voice. And Jeff, I think the Lord's called you to be a voice in the wilderness. God has put you in environments where there's just wilderness. In other words, it's a dry place. It's not, you're not always in a, you're rarely in a wet place spiritually and environmentally. And the Lord puts you there to prepare the way of the Lord. And many will come to the waters that are inside of you. And they're going to you're going to release these waters of living water that will come out of you. And they're going to flow as living water to those places. And they're going to understand this is the way we should walk in it. And here's the gift you have. God's given you the gift of wisdom and counsel. Heard that on you. Wisdom and counsel to lower the mountains and raise the valleys. So when people come to you with mountainous problems, the Lord said you're going to you have a gift to lower those mountains and say you can have this mountain. You can speak to this mountain and it will move. But you also have anointing to raise the valleys. People that are in low places and say, hey, we're going to raise the water level. And you're going to get up higher, and you're going to do greater things. So you're really, I call you a coach. You're like a coach. And that you coach people. You don't really counsel them. Because a coach is different than a counselor. You know, a coach looks at somebody and says, hey, I see this. Let's pull that out. A counselor's trying to put stuff in. You're pulling stuff out. You have this gift to pull. And I feel like that's a gift that you have, to pull out the greatness of people. And God said it's going to, you've done it much in the past, but you're going to do it greater in the future. It's going to be like you're going to have a whole group of people that you're going to mentor. You're going to create a team. And there's going to be a warrior team. I don't know, it's weird. I saw like you have a SWAT team. You know, a SWAT team comes in like when it's a crisis and we solve the problem. We put out the fire right then. And it's anointing on your life. So this is your SWAT leader here. I just decree that Jeff is a SWAT leader. I anoint the Father. I ask for renewal of mine to see how it can be in the future as much as it was in the past. Father, I decree that. You've had to live with this guy. All right, so let's all stretch our hands toward her. No, I'm just teasing. No, it's been a great adventure. Y'all's life has been the great adventure. That's what I heard. It has been. I saw it like an RV, you know. It's just like, on the road again. You know, it's like always moving around, trying to find where you're supposed to be. You're journey, you like to journey, and you're on a journey, but you're willing to say, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I saw that on your life. There's a radical obedience thing on you that when you just need to hear. And once you hear, you'll do. And you'll do it to the best of your ability. And the Lord said, it's precious to him. is precious to him. And the Lord said, he's well pleased with your heart. He's well pleased with your acts of obedience. He's well pleased that you will willingly do whatever he's asked you to do. And the Lord said, new assignments are coming. I saw a roster of events in your life, both of you, but for you especially. And don't think it's no time to retire. It's time to refire. Okay? So there's no time to just chill out and say, let somebody else do it. That's a cop-out that the enemy wants to put on your mind. And no, you're anointed, you're skilled, you're purposed, and God said, I want to use you. And last thing I saw was there's this anointing with coffee. I don't know what this means. I don't know if you make good coffee or whatever, but I saw this anointing where you sit with coffee and you transform lives. So you're going to sit there with somebody, have a cup of coffee, create it for them, whatever, and they're going to be transformed. I saw lots of tears. The Lord said, have Kleenex there all the time, because when you do this, it's bringing transformation. And it's this one-on-one connection that you have. It's really a gift you have. You're a good listener. That's the best way I can put it. And there's very few people that are good listeners. Lots of good talkers, very few listeners. And you have a gift to listen. And that's what this world needs right now, is somebody that will listen. Father, I decree that over her right now in Jesus' name. Does that make sense?
Yes. So in 92, Bob Jones prophesied the same word over us in 1992. She is a therapist that oversees 12 therapists, Christian, and then I've been a coach for 20, 30 years. And I'm raising up a group of men right now who are all CEOs of SWAT team in San Diego to change North County.
I love it. Can't make that stuff up, can you? Woo! That encouraged me. Thank you. You know, I was in Botswana. This is Botswana. Y'all know where that is, right? It's just right over here by Oregon. But no, it's in South Africa area. But but the prophetic protocol there, like what I'm doing right now, at the end of the service, the pastor makes everybody get up and testify whether their word was accurate or not. I was sweating bullets, baby. But because I didn't know that was the protocol. But we hit it. We nailed it. Praise God. Thank God. Man, you've come a long way. I remember when I came here years ago, you were fighting a battle. And God has strengthened you. And you have fought the fight. But it's more than fighting a fight. Because you've got in survival mode for quite a while. Just let me survive. But now the Lord says, the testimony, it defeats the works of Satan. Amen. And your testimony is going to deal with the accuser. And the power of your testimony is going to begin to drive back darkness from people's lives. So much so that you're going to look at them and say, you do not have to accept the sentence that's on your life. And you're going to speak into their sentences, not just for death, just a sentence of debauchery and poverty, whatever their sentence is, the enemy has sentenced people. You're going to actually have this gift to look in people's lives and see what the enemy has sentenced people with. And your testimony is going to set them free. And actually it's going to drive back the accuser. And you're actually going to walk in an anointing for deliverance like never before, where they're literally going to be delivered as they get around you, as something gets on you and just flows through you. So I encourage you, brother, share your testimony as often as God gives you opportunity. But as you do that, God's going to renew your strength and let you flow in that greater strength. Okay? You with me on that? Father, I just bless this man. I release that on his house, on his life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, you, Richard, your name, right? What'd you say your name was? Dennis, that's right. Dennis. All right. You know, you're sitting by the wall, but the Lord said you are a wall. You're a structure. Okay, you know, it's and I kept hearing the maturity of the bride in the Song of Songs, I think it's chapter 8, about her being a wall. And you know, they would wall in somebody once they got in. They got them in a safe place. And you're a safe place. And there's a real gift on your life, both of you, to be a safe place. People feel like they can come dump their heart on you, and you're not going to betray them. You're going to be a safe place, a safe harbor. Because I saw y'all's life, y'all's house, your ministry is a lighthouse. It really is. People in the storms of life come around you, and they know, hey, there's a safe place. There's a safe harbor there. And I won't be judged. I don't have to worry about them talking behind my back. And it's priceless. It's honorable. And I want to honor you. I want to honor your ministry. I want to honor what you do. And you're critical to this house. You're critical in what you're doing. Now, you don't always understand all that's going to happen in the future and all that. I think God's going to renew your mind. Like both, I'm telling you, your mind's about to be touched in such a way that you're going to see things you've never seen before. And you're going to renew your mind. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to renew your youth. And you're going to have physically and spiritually. God's going to touch some things in your body. I feel like you're going to heal some things in your body, especially. You get some healing in there. But then also he's going to renew your youth. You're going to have new strength to fight for the future. And you're going to be a part of the future as much as you were the past. The greater days were wonderful. The past days were great, but the future days are greater. It's going to be like Job's last chapter. May the Lord bless you and bless your home, that you'll see a greater harvest in the future. Okay. All right. That makes sense? Receive that. Okay, a couple more and we'll let y'all go. Y'all have been amazing. My family over there, they're hanging in there with me too. Thank you. How are you? What's your name?
Katie.
Hey. Katie. Katie is like, I feel like you're not misplaced, but you feel misplaced at times. And the Lord says, I've made you different than everybody else around you. And you're always that one that's different. And especially, because when I looked at you in the Spirit, I saw a lot of light on you. And the Lord said, that light draws. It draws. And people are drawn to what you're carrying. Katie, I feel like there's this joy that sits on you. It's unspeakable. People wonder where you get it from. Look, you should be discouraged. You should be whatever, all that's going on around you. But you have this joy. And I feel like God says you got these tickets of joy, like tokens. You know, when kids go into an arcade store, that these tokens they put in the machine. I'm telling you, you're going to give out these tokens of joy. You're going to do joy acts for people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be out of joy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's going to be something they can use. It's something they can use in life. And I want to pull that out of you, because there's ingenious ideas in you for ministry. In other words, touching people's lives, different ways to touch people's lives. And the Lord says, bring them out. And it looks like you're a journaler, but I feel like you've written some things down that have been untapped. And the Lord said, I'm about to put a spigot there. I'm going to tap some things inside of you, a wellspring that's in you that's been hidden. It's going to come out. It's going to flow in this next season. And I kept seeing, I'm trying to see it really clearly, but I kept seeing this whole thing about manifestation that's been locked up. It's going to manifest in this next season. So it's going to be a flow of joy. It's going to be a wellspring of life to many. So, Father, I thank you for Katie. Bring forth those ideas. Lord, let them flow out of her. And let this joy be released to many others. Isaiah 61 is the last thing I saw over you. The Spirit of the Lord's anointed you to preach the good news, to bring comfort to those who mourn. Luke 4:18 as well. It's the same passage. But sitting on you. It's like a life scripture on you. So go study that and pray into it. Okay, I want to pray for you guys. So worship. You deserve it. You know, one thing I want to say for you. When y'all sang in Spanish, because I love the nations, I just felt like the Lord said, I want to honor you for not dishonoring your heritage. Something very important. Because a lot of times, people who come here from other nations and other ethnic groups, they want to not be part of that anymore. They want to be Americans. You know, and they don't want anybody, like they look at, where are you from? They go, I'm from California. Well, you know what they're asking you. Where are you from? Yeah, they want to know your history. And many times I find Americans, ethnic Americans, they want to forget their history. And if you forget your history, you don't have a future. And you'll have a rich heritage. Now here's what I saw, especially for you. I saw your family like 4 or 5 generations back. They were in poverty and living in destitute lives, just barely surviving, farmers, things like that. And God gave somebody a vision in your family and said, there's something better. There's something greater. And they rose up from the ranks of nothing and put a DNA inside of you that you're carrying. When it said of Abraham that he tithed, it said Levi was in his loins. You were in the loins of somebody generations past. And your purpose here right now, somebody tithed their life, they tithed their resources, they tithed everything. And you're a manifestation of that. And your creativity, because you're this creative. I mean, you're always creating ideas and thoughts and stuff. You have this idea. You're a idea person. You always have ideas, and it could be done this way. And what's the newest thing to do? What's the newest way to do it? I'm always looking, because it's an ingenious thing on you, because you have the brilliant mind. I mean, you're really like a brilliant mind. And it's the spirit of Daniel, because there's such integrity on both of you. But your family began to walk in integrity. It came out of debauchery and darkness and wickedness, and it started walking in integrity. And now you're a manifestation of it. You're a harvest of that. And the Lord says that you're going to create a company of people who walk in integrity. And the Daniel anointing that's on you, did you hear me? You have a Daniel of excellence on you. And it drives you crazy because you're kind of a perfectionist. And that's a nice way of putting it. You're kind of a perfectionist. But you have this whole thing on you, a perfection. And your family struggle with works. But the Lord's taught you what grace is. Grace is going to empower you, and it is empowering you, to do perfection. You're going to walk in the perfection of Jesus when he said, be perfect as I'm perfect. And you're going to walk in that in such a way that the beauty of the perfection of Christ is going to come out of you. It's going to flow out of you. Now, you need to write more. You write a lot anyway. Of course, everybody types now, you know, all that kind of weird stuff. But you know what I mean. It's the ready pen writer. The pen's in your hand. And God said you're going to write the heart of the Father. And as you write it, it's going to become displayed in the earth. Now, you're hard on yourself with performance, because there's a whole performance thing on you. I just break that off and get that rid of that. Yeah, I could have done better. I would have done it. You're your worst critic. You're always criticizing your giftings. Stop it. All right? There's a prophetic word. Stop it. And accept who God created you to be. And just let the anointing, because when you were up there worshiping, it wasn't about the sound. It was about the anointing. The sound was good, but the anointing was greater. Okay? And there's an anointing that comes out of you and through you. So I just release that, Father. I thank you for this precious one. And I say creative, you're part of the creative sound of this area. As much as writing songs and stuff, you're going to write poetry. Now that sounds real weird. I'll get some bongos and start doing something. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, get some anointed poetry. Just some things that God would just flow out of you in prose. I haven't used that word since school. But I heard that over you, that you're going to have some things that you're going to write. And don't think they're silly. They're going to change. They're going to transform others. Okay, so you like her? Is she okay to hang around? All right. What's your first name? What's your first name?
Daniel.
Daniel. She's like Daniel, and you are Daniel. All right. That's cool. She's in Daniel's house. I like that. And Daniel, I saw a sword in your hand. You're a warrior, or samurai, you know, the samurai. It's like they'll give their life. A samurai's life is not their own. I'm not telling you to be a samurai. I'm just telling you, you have that kind of anointing, that your life is not your own, and you'll give it for others. And you're willing to put your life on the line. You're willing to put things down. And I want to honor you in that. And I think there's people that don't understand you. But the Lord says, I understand you. And people, when there comes time of a storm, they run to you. And they're going to run in the days ahead. It's like, man, I'm in a bind, dude. You got to help me out. And that you're always there. You're that answer in the storm. It's like you're not afraid of storms. You actually see them as opportunities. So a negative, God has given you the gift to make a positive. And so I want to say this to you, Daniel. You're born for storms. Your whole life has been one anyway. I saw like adversity come against you, your family. Everything growing up, it's never been easy. You've always fought. but you've always been victorious, and you will always be victorious. I decree a victorious anointing upon you, and you will walk in that all the days of your life. And Lord, you're going to raise up, he's going to raise up others who are going to be like him, who are going to be able to face the storms of life and bring transformation. I decree that in Jesus' name. I thank you for that. Okay. All right. How are you, man? You're going to the nations. You know, I know we can't travel right now, but you will go to the nations. I saw your passport, lots of stamps. Asia's calling to you. You know, it says, you know, like Paul, it said the Macedonian call, you know, Macedonia was calling to him. I heard Asia calling for you. And they're calling for you. He said, get over here. And so there's going to be a day, whenever the time comes, you're going to be released to Asia and all over Asia, Southeast Asia, Asia, you know, whatever, all the way through mainly, really Southeast Asia, India, Burma, Indonesia, places like that. I'm all along there. I kept seeing anointing for you there. And God's going to give you a grace. And look, it's like you're going to bring you know how third worlds are, but you're going to be a first world anointing to a third world. In other words, they don't have the skills. They don't have the foundations. And you're going to bring a whole heritage with you. And here's what I saw. I saw people wanting to hold on to your leg and say, you can't leave. In other words, I'm not leaving. You got to give me more. You got to give me more. It's like when the disciples, it says they threw money at their feet. I feel like the third world people are going to throw like stuff at you and say, look, please, I need what you got. And you may think, well, I don't have that much. What you have is more than they have. And as you give, it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together. Shall men give into your bosom. And I just release you to Asia. I release you also to the nations, obviously, Latino nations as well. But that's the easy one. Because you can go in and, como está? You know, you can do that. But these are going to be the stretch. These are going to be the stretches for you. To go somewhere that you're not comfortable in. But God's about to stretch you. You're Stretch Armstrong. You remember that old toy? You know, it's an old toy called Stretch Armstrong where they stretch them. God's about to stretch you in a special way. Hallelujah. I went way too long, Michael. I'm so sorry. Will y'all forgive me? No. Thank you. I apologize. Man. God. Preacher was long-winded. Well, let me break this mind thing. And let's close out with that. And renew the mind. The enemy's in the attic, my dream said. He wants to steal from you. But he wants to steal the deliverance for the power to come. That's what the plan of the enemy is. Paul said, don't be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. And we're not ignorant. We know what he's up to. We expose you, Satan. We say we know you're a thief. And you think you've stolen the power from this area. I say it's a lie. And we declare their powers being restored in Jesus' name. We flush the old stuff. The old stuff that's been in this region, in this area, this ministry. Old stuff that hasn't been cleaned up. It's just been sitting there, compiling. We say, your days are over. And we release that and we flush this thing. We say, open the pipe, open the plumbing. Lord, let the flow of the water of the word come back to this place. Look, I'm not saying y'all are backslidden or dark. I'm just telling you there's more power available. And the Lord wants to bring that power where you have demonstration of power every time you gather. Demonstration of power every time you minister to somebody. That you won't just go through the routine and the norm. And we're going to say, Lord, everything's going to be super normal, supernatural, super, super, super. We release that upon this house. We say the church on the mountain, Michael and the leaders here, Heather, that they're going to have a supernatural wave of your spirit. We rebuke you, Satan, just like the Lord did in Zechariah 3, in the book of Jude. We say the Lord rebuke you and remove you from this premise. You do not have authority to be here. You do not have a right to be here in the minds of people. We renew the minds in the name of Jesus. And we decree that this place is going to be a lighthouse. It's going to be a hope for California. We say that Oregon and Washington and Arizona will be touched from this place. and this will be a life source. Father, it will flow downward and it will flow upward. And Father, it will be a central station. I heard this, Michael. This is going to be a central station that people from those states will be drawn to. They'll just be passing through. Some will be on a road trip from Washington, Oregon. They're just going to stop here in Crowley, or they're going to stop in Bishop. I don't know why. We just felt led to stop here. It's going to be because they're going to get renewed and restored and filled with the Spirit of God and have their minds renewed and have the Spirit of God and the power of God hit them and then send them out as missionaries. Send them out as messengers into the earth. Same thing from Arizona. They're going to come up here. So watch those three states. They're going to be drawn to this area. We say, come, come, for the word of the Lord is here. We say to the north, south, east, and west of this region, we say, come, the word of the Lord is back in the house of God. And that's what I heard, like Naomi and Ruth. They said they were going back to Bethlehem because they heard that bread was back in the house. We say that the house here at Church on the Mountain, the bread is back in the house. It's here. The famine is ending. The fire is coming. The anointing is here. The Spirit of God is here to fall. And the power here is to be released in Jesus' name. And Lord, stretch your hands toward Michael. Father, we thank you for this man of God. That, Lord, the restoration of lost things, the restoration of everything. The Lord said, Michael, you're going to lead a house in true repentance. And then that a refreshing will come, and then the restoration of many things. It's an anointing that you've been carrying for a long time. The Lord said visions you had in Mongolia that have been put on the shelf are coming back to life. Things that you saw there that you didn't see here, you will see here, just like you saw there. And so the unbelievable that happened there will become the believable here. Because God says, I'm going to begin to call on an old anointing that's in you from many years ago. That passion to lay it all down. That passion to give everything for a people group that you still have, but it's been battered and beaten and just through religion and chaos of life and all the things that's trying to beat it down. It's over. I want to prophesy today on the 15th day of August 2021. From that time forward, the days that you were born for this purpose, we call them into this hour. And we say this is an appointed day for you, for this ministry, and for your future. And you know, your kids are growing, yes. But there's a day coming where you're going to be released as well to go back to the nations and go and you're not going to stay there, but you're going to go back in and out. The nations are calling to you as well. I saw like a new stirring in your belly for the nations. You always have a heart for it, but you're always sending others. But the Lord said the day is coming soon where you will be sent as well. You will go where nobody's willing to go. You will say what nobody else is willing to say. You will do what nobody else is willing to do. And that's the places God's going to send you. It's not going to be the most popular places. It's going to be the most needed places. And as you go, you're going to release the anointing of the Lord and grace to fill the needs that are in that house. Father, I bless this man and his leadership, him and Heather both. And Lord, those that are walking with him, Lord, we honor them. And we say that, Father, let them be as a mind of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for the goodness on his life. And I release that purpose right now. And for this house, we bless this house. I apostolically, prophetically bless this house. And I call it into its purpose and its destiny today, starting today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Woo!
Hallelujah.